Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap, Reverend Dunlap, Minister Dunlap, whatever you want to call me. And also, we have sitting at the table with us, Mary Ann Williams, also known to all of the previous listeners of the PRF Table. Mama, Mama, how are you doing this evening?
Good evening, and good evening to my family.
Yes, very good, very good. Sister Adia will not be on with us tonight. She is, as most of you know, she is in the military serving our country and doing it well. She's going to be out for about a month, so she's going to be playing soldier, so to speak, out in the field. Some of us know what that is. And also we'll have Brother Feaster, Reverend Feaster, Warren Feaster, the beat down scripture man. We'll have Warren Feaster coming to us in a few minutes, all the way over from Korea. So, you know, as always, we are definitely blessed to have him on the show.
Amen.
Let me just tell you where we're at tonight. Today is October the 9th, 2014. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is something that really God just placed on my heart. I was having lunch today with another fellow pastor, and we were talking about some things. And one of the things that he told me, he said, look, you know, one of the reasons why I do what I do, talking about being a pastor, being in ministry, is because I think about what happened today. He said, I get up, I got up this morning, I decided I was going to go run a couple of miles, and I was also going to go ride my bike for a couple of miles, and while I'm riding my bike, here comes a text message from you saying, let's go to lunch today. And to just be able to have that freedom to be able to say, you know what, I just want to go have lunch with my brother today. It's good when we as ministers are able to fellowship and communicate other than being in each other's pulpits for a special day or service or filling in for somebody. And so I thought it was really, really interesting how he said that. He said, I so much want the people that God is, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the people that God has placed me over as their under-shepherd, he's saying, I want to be able to help people to get to this same place of being able to do what I'm doing right now, just to be able to chill. And don't get me wrong, anybody who's out there listening in PRF land, it's not that he does not work. It's not that he doesn't get on the grind. But it's the ability to have some freedom to be able to do certain things like that. And he was very conscious to say, everybody does not have the freedom that you and I have sitting here today. So I thought that was really, really interesting. And I said, you know what? The reason why I do what I do, this ministry dealing with finances and PRF, I said, because I want that for people too. However, at the same time, my task is a little bit different than my brother's. My brother is a full-time pastor. I minister in this area. So the ministry that God has given me with this PRF is so that I can help him and other pastors to be able to focus on the things that they need to focus on. See, the reality is this, Mama.
Yes.
Most pastors that I know cannot stand up in a pulpit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday strictly talking about financial matters.
Right.
But Brother Dunlap, Reverend Dunlap, Minister Dunlap, whatever you want to call me, I'm able to do that. So this ministry is a help, is an aid to ministers and pastors so that they can focus on the mission that God has placed them on. And this, what God has given me, just adds to it, because the reality is What are some of the things that the pastors have to do? They deal with counseling. When somebody needs some help and they come to the church, they're dealing with that in most cases. So what I'm proposing is, let's do like in Acts chapter 6, so that you can focus on preaching and teaching the word. You know, you shouldn't have to come down to deal with some of these minor things. Where else is the other help for, not just PRF, but what are other type of ministries that are there to be able to help the people, the members of the congregation, and also members of our local communities, where the pastor does not have to come down to that level to be able to deal with that particular thing, which will sidetrack them from the full focus of the mission that's at hand. So tonight what we're talking about is, we're talking about tonight's topic is getting a fresh financial start. And I think it came from our conversation earlier. And here are a couple of the questions that is actually on the Blog Talk website page. Do you feel that you need a fresh start financially? Are there people around you that you know, all capitals, that you know need a fresh start? What old thing has to be given up in order for you to get that fresh start? And I think one of the most controversial and deep-seated questions falls in line with this. Where do you, or where can you begin? Mm-hmm. Mama, it's not that there are not enough financial resources out there for people.
Right.
That's not it. It's not that there are not enough jobs in the country. We know what the unemployment stats are, but that's not it. A lot of times it's the question where people don't know where to get resources and get the right resources.
Right.
And in addition to not knowing where to get the right resources, there's also these other things that I deal with a little bit more particularly. There's the fear. There's the shame. There's the guilt. There's the lack of knowledge. So when you have all of those things that play a part in this whole situation, people may not just readily come to you or come to me to get the type of assistance that they may need, and also to get the fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
Go ahead, Mama. If you got something, go ahead. You know how we do it.
That is good. I was just, you know, responding. That's really good, because mainly when you are fearful, also because you can have the knowledge. Because if you don't have the knowledge, you just don't know. But it's those of us. I can talk for myself. I do have the knowledge now, you know what I mean? So I have to make a choice not to allow fear to keep me from getting or saying, okay, an example today was a lady came by today, and she brought us some fruit, you know. And she was asking me, did I need any food, whatever I need. Just let her know what I need. Do I need any food? And so I'm thinking, well, I don't really need any food. And then it was like a voice was saying, you know what I mean, you're not really desperate for food. But I just didn't listen to that voice. I said, yes. I said, whatever that you want to bless me with, I will accept. And then I shared that with her, and she says, you are desperate. I don't think I'm desperate, but she said, no, you're desperate. You know, she said, people are hurting and people need help, and you just need some help, you know, especially with what you're going through, you know. And so it's things of that nature that we have to, when someone comes in our path and someone asks us something, just say, yes, I do, because we all can use some assistance, you know, because she was asking me, did I have this, that, and the other. Yes, I didn't have what she said, but in my mind I was thinking, but I have food, you know. But that's not what she was asking me.
Wow.
So we have to just allow our pride, you know, and just say, no, this is what God sent this lady across your path. She just came from the hospital herself. She has a blood disorder. She has a trauma where she's had strokes. So she's dealing with a lot in her body, but yet and still she comes by here. So, you know, it's this time, you know, I'm talking about me, it's time for me to accept the gifts that God sent across my path. Just say,
amen,
thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. And get out of my own thinking and say, oh, God, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. Amen.
Okay. So here's where we're going to, where I really want us to start tonight. I really want us to start and just bat around for everybody who's sitting at the table right now. This is my thought. If you're doing the same thing, you get the same results. I think I've heard people say this before, and I'm sure that I've said it as well, that insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So as we start dealing with this notion of getting a fresh financial start, I think it's time for us as leaders particularly to really ask the question, what is really going on? Whenever God leads me or sends me or I get requested to do a workshop or a seminar or even to preach, I'm asking the question as a ministerial leader, what's going on? It's not good enough that I just go into a place to teach whatever I want to teach. You know, PRF has 10 lessons, God's ownership, stewardship, you know, on and on. So it's not that I just pick one out of the air because I like this particular lesson. I like talking about stewardship, so I just go and I just believe in my mind this is the one that I'm going to present to the people. No, I have to be willing to ask the question and be asking God as well, what's going on? What's going on with the people? I say that not to imply that any pastor out there, any of your pastors, you who are listening, or your ministerial leaders are not asking the question. But what I would like to see, what I believe is relevant, is that we who are from the outside looking in, meaning I'm an outsider looking into your personal situation, Mama, because I'm not you and I don't live in your household. So that's the way, the outside-in perspective that I'm talking about. But I think it's important that if I'm asking the question and we're doing some things that we're supposed to do or that we believe is the right thing to do, and I believe that in my mind that as I'm preaching on personal financial management or PRF, there should be some fruit that comes from that.
Yes.
So if there's fruit that comes from that, what does that fruit look like? So for me, again, I'm going back to, you know, the leaders. We as the leaders really need to be willing to ask what's going on. And here's what I want to put out there. And if you're listening and you want to join into the conversation, press 1 on the dial pad and we'll bring you into the table. If you're listening online, just go to possessions.resources.finances and you can post your questions there and we'll read them on the air. But the first thing that I really, really thought about was what type of teaching as a ministerial leader am I providing? The second question is, what type of teaching as a ministerial leader am I not providing? And I'm strictly talking about that helps and enables individuals to get a fresh financial start. I ain't talking about Band-Aids. I'm talking about a fresh financial start. This is why I think those two questions are relevant. Because if I, as a leader, am willing to do an honest reflection of me, myself, what I am doing to help the situation, and it winds up coming back, the results come back that I'm not doing all that I could do, then now that gives me a goal that I can actually work towards.
Right.
But if I believe that my teaching is good, and because people hooped and hollered, because some people shed a tear, that is all that matters, or I get the impression that people are really, really getting it, not getting it, that they got it, because of how they reacted from an emotional standpoint in that particular moment, I believe that we've missed the mark.
Right.
I believe that we have missed the mark. So the first thing is, I believe that it takes an honest reflection of what I'm teaching as a minister, not just what I'm teaching, but what am I not teaching? here's how it can work. And I want people to just take this and run with it. Lord, what I see my people that are struggling financially. Lord, what is it that what type of teaching needs to come to my people, the people who you've given me to shepherd? And I'm speaking strictly of a pastor's point of view. If I'm willing to ask that question, don't you know that God will give an answer?
Yes.
Just taking it just from the perspective of the leader. You know how I am about accountability and responsibility. The individuals, if you are sitting within a congregation, my phone is blowing up. Oh, my goodness. If I am sitting within a congregation and I'm struggling financially, or I know some folks around me that are struggling financially, the same thing must occur. Why can I not ask the question, what type of financial teaching do we have here within this ministry? Right?
Yes.
Within this church. And it doesn't need to be where I'm asking that question saying, what type of financial teaching does the pastor need to do? The reality is, every pastor has not been gifted to talk to his members or her members about this area. Because truth be told, I know a bunch of there are some pastors out there that I can say that finances are just tore up from the floor up. There's pastors that have filed for bankruptcy. So there's pastors that are living with some of the same financial, I'm telling you what I know, not just what I'm speculating. There are some pastors and some ministerial leaders that are living some of the same financial challenges that you are as a member. So if I am a ministerial leader, if I am your pastor and I'm going through bankruptcy, I may not want you to know that because I may be dealing with the shame or the guilt that I had to file bankruptcy because I didn't manage my money well.
Right.
So how truly effective can I be with helping you as a member of the particular congregation or a member of the particular ministry that I'm involved with you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the first thing that I will say is it's about reflecting on what type of teaching am I getting or what type of teaching am I not getting. Either way, there's a way to evaluate what's coming or what's not coming. And I think from that perspective, and I think when we're willing to do that, when we're willing to take those honest questions as well as the honest answers, then we have now placed ourselves in a position to be able to go to the next step. Tonight, for those of you who are just joining us, we're talking about getting a fresh financial start. So if it's about getting a fresh financial start, and I never do an evaluation of where I am currently at, what's the purpose of me saying that I need a fresh financial start? Mama, to me, it's not that difficult because this is just how God has wired me and the ministry that God has given me, but it's not that simple for everybody else. Because here's what I realize. When people are going through financially, and you've heard me say this on the air many of nights, most people... financial problems have nothing to do with finances. Let me give you an example for those who haven't been around with us for the last couple of years. A husband and a wife are going through financial problems. It's not that they don't have, in most cases, it's not that they don't have enough money to take care of the bills. It may be that you have one person who likes to spend where the other person likes to save. So what you have there is not an issue of money not being there. Yes, the money may be gone. If the person who likes to spend is spending the money and the other one is trying to save, then there's not that enough money to be able to save. But the issue is there's a conflict within the relationship between that husband and that wife.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of us trying to deal with the issue of you don't have enough money to pay your bills and putting a Band-Aid on it and me blessing you in the name of Jesus with $200 to take care of that bill because the husband or the wife who has that compulsive spending habit or is not financially or fiscally responsible, because they're doing that particular action, all I did was put a Band-Aid on the situation. Mm-hmm. With as many financial problems and financial challenges that people are going through within the pews, there's just as many of those challenges going on outside of the four walls of your church.
Yeah.
So I propose this to you. If you say one of these cliches that we've heard communicated so often throughout the church, that the church is like a hospital. So if you want to get a healing, come to the hospital. If the hospital does not have any doctors, that's probably a place that I'm not going to go.
Amen.
If the doctor's office or the clinic is not open, good gracious, then don't believe that I'm going to go sit outside of that clinic or that doctor's office until they open. If the situation is that bad, where you need a fresh financial start, whoever it is that's listening, then there has to be a willingness to take at least one step forward in the right direction. Y'all are quiet tonight. My phone is blowing up, but y'all quiet tonight on the air.
Listening.
So I'm going into the next thing. What has to be given up? What old thing has to be given up? If I feel that I need a new job, because the job that I have, I feel underemployed. And you know what underemployed means. Because of your lifestyle, because of your talents, because of the amount of money that you are receiving for that job that you are getting paid to go to every day. If you're making $12 an hour, but you know your skill set, the bills that you have to take care of in your household really requires or should offer you the opportunity to make $25 an hour, then you're underemployed. So if you feel that you're underemployed, you can't just say, Lord, send me a new job. You can't just say, Lord, help me get another job, but you never put in an application. So I'm looking at what is that old thing, and these are questions that you as the individuals, you the listeners, you have to be willing to ask those questions. See, it's easy, Mama, for me as an outsider looking in.
Yes.
To be able to see an individual that looks like they're doing better than what they're doing and think that they don't need any help. On the flip side, it is just as dangerous to look at an individual who doesn't look like, quote unquote, they're doing well financially because of the car that they may drive. But they may be doing better financially than every last one of us.
Mm-hmm.
My wife works for an individual who drives, it's like an 80-something Buick. But I can tell you that this individual I won't put him out there what he does, but I can tell you this individual has more money than you can shake a stick at. But if you looked at this individual on the surface, if you looked at what this individual drives every single day, you would never know that this individual has a lot of money. Not just because of their job, because they've made certain decisions in their life. So I just want to hear from y'all. I mean, I've talked for about 20 minutes now. I really want to hear what's on your mind. You know, do you feel that you need a fresh start? If you're out there listening, press 1, and we'll bring you into the conversation. You know, what is it that you think that you need to give up so that you can get this fresh start? So the telephone number is 914-338-1692. Mama, do you have anything before I may go to the Facebook page and see if there's anybody that has posted anything?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can talk from my own experience. It's that it's just like you said, you know, first we have to accept that there's something wrong. We have to accept, okay, number one, if we don't make a budget, and this is me, you know, when I got married, and I'm all of this in the sky somewhere, okay? But, and so we would go out and we would eat, et cetera, et cetera. But if we don't make a budget and know where your money is going, know where my money is going, then I'm just going to spend and have it just, you're just going to spend stuff. You're going to be impulsive too, because you think you have the money, but you really don't know what, how much money you really have, because there is no budget. You're making sure that your, I can make sure that my lights, make sure my rent is paid, make sure my lights are paid, you know, the basic things. But then I can, but I need to also make a budget and include my groceries, you know, and then the insurances. I mean, sit down and make a budget. If I have $1,000 coming in, then I need to sit down and need to know where is every penny of that $1,000 going, because I want to save. So it seems like I cannot save. I wonder why I cannot save. You know, and if I just keep on going in that, like you say, to me I call it a merry-go-round, around and around and around in that thought pattern. But do not take out the time to say, and that I know that I need to make a budget, then I'm gonna always be in a financial stress. I'm always going to be struggling. However, if I sit down and do what I know to do, and I'm just talking about myself, I will see that, oh my gosh, where's $300 going? And then after I realize I have $300, you know, out there somewhere and eating food, all other things you don't need to be buying, then I have to make a choice. This doesn't make sense. This is ludicrous. I have to then make a choice to not going to be eating out, don't need to buy anything that I don't need. You know, have to make those hard choices, which is sacrifice, because I need to start saving some money, and especially at my age. So I have the money to save, even if it's just $30. But because I have not made a plan, and I'm acting like everything's okay, I'm looking okay, I'm smelling fine, I'm all those good things, but financially, I'm really bankrupt, and that's because I've not made a choice. After I realize that I need to make this budget, now I have to also go by that budget. I have to say, this is what you're going to spend, and I don't care what you see or what you think you need that you don't need. No, you cannot buy that, because that's not in your budget. And so, but we have to make be accountable and accept, like you said, self-reflection. I have to look at my, I have to take a look at myself and be honest with myself and say, these are the things you don't need to be doing. So I have to also change, well, in other words, change my behavior, my spending habits. They have to do a 360 turnaround. And if I choose not to do that, then it say, don't complain about the things that I'm willing to tolerate. So if I'm willing to continue to tolerate being in a poverty state, then no need to complain about it, because I don't have the lack of knowledge. I do know. I do know how to make out a budget. You know, I do know how to add and subtract.
Right.
So there's no excuse for me not doing that.
Right. Well, Brother Feaster, what do you have to say on this subject? We hear you acknowledging Mama in the background, so as we say in another line of work, what say you?
Well, I was sitting back and listening in the cut, you know, because I had been away so long, wasn't sure exactly where everybody was at. Work has called me away and pulled me away, and they're trying to get some money out of me, so I guess I better do it. But it's good to be back at the table. Let me dust my chair off and see where we at. But I've been listening since the show aired, and it was interesting, JR, the way you started. And let me say hello to everyone. I'm sorry for get the rambling. You know how I get the rambling. But I was listening, and it was. I like the way you started. I like the way you started, JR, because you asked some hard, very hard-hitting questions, you know, because, and I wrote down acknowledgement, because initially we have to acknowledge where we are. A lot of times people are in the situation, and I know we're talking about finance, but it's also in other areas of our life. But I'm going to try to keep it with the finance where we are. But a lot of times we're not acknowledging where we are in life. We're letting life pass us by and saying that we're doing good when we're really we're not. You know, we're putting on this facade. We're putting on this image. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses. So we're telling people that we're doing good, and we're showing people that we're doing good. But in the reality of it all, we're not doing good. So I like that part with the acknowledgement, because you really have to ask yourself those questions. Where am I? Where do I want to be? Why am I not there? And what do I need to do to get there? And then the second thing, JR, as you was talking about sacrifice. So now that I know where I am, what am I willing to do to get there? You know, it's interesting, because if you can't get past those two first initial steps, well, let me rephrase that. If you can get past those first two initial steps, I really believe everything else will fall into place, because then you'll have the motivation to go find the resources. Then you'll have the drive to go find the resources. Then you'll have the desire to go find the resources. But if you're sitting there and driving a Lexus but working on Gremlin budget, you know, you're not going to have the desire to get out of there, because what you're trying to do is keep up with this Lexus. You know, you're too busy trying to keep up with the maintenance. You're too busy trying to keep up with the gas. You're too busy trying to keep up with the parking spots and making sure you know, because you can't drive a Lexus and always be up in Walmart every day and then at the thrift shop. So you got to go to these high-end malls and these designer shops so you're keeping up with something. You know, so once you acknowledge it and then you begin to sacrifice, everything else will fall into place. I have a relative that has been living on a high end of life outside, but on the low end of life budget wise. And now over years, it's starting to catch up with this particular individual, and I'm starting to see some things that show that all these years, this particular person has been living a lie, has been living an image. So now, after trying to maintain this image for so long, spillage is happening. Now you're starting to see, you know, the outside image may look good, but all of a sudden the car changed. All of a sudden the clothes changed. But the conversation is still the same. So it's like, okay, when are you going to let go so that you can make, so that you can get where you want to be? You know, you talked about one parent might like to save and one parent might like to spend. I was like, dang, Jay, I didn't know you knew my family like that, because I'm the one that like to spend and my wife like to save. So over the first couple of years of marriage, my wife really had to get on me and be like, look, what are you spending your money on? What are you doing with this money? Hey, you got a family. You got kids. We're trying to save. We're trying to do this. And it took years for that to get beat in my head. But now we're at a point to where we have X amount of dollars just sitting in the bank for emergency purposes. You know, we have the three accounts that financial advisors tell you to have. But it took my wife getting to me to the point to where now when I go in, and I'm an impulse buyer. I'm still an impulse buyer. But now I have to ask my question. Is this a need? Is this a want? Do I need this now? You know what I'm saying? So it took time to get to that acknowledgement and to finally get to that sacrifice. There was a time when my wife didn't work, but I held her. I gave her all the money. So I'm the one working, and I'm asking her for money for gas. But I put up with that sacrifice. I did that sacrifice. I went through that sacrifice to get us where we are now, because I knew where I wanted us to be, and she knew where she was trying to get us. So it took the acknowledgement, and it took the sacrifice. And after that, it took the discipline. Now I'm talking about for me. Now, if this works for you, write it down, you know, and share it with yourself. But it took the discipline. Not only now, I got to deal with, you know, when my wife wasn't working and had the checkbook and I'm the one working and people were saying, hey, let's go to lunch. I'm like, my wife didn't give me no money. Now I got to deal with, you know, being a leader and people wanting to go eat and I can't go eat because it's not in the money that my wife has given me. Now there's ridicule. You know, now there's, I'm a man. There's a little bit of manhood being said. So it's I think I done started rambling and got caught up on my first time getting back, but it just, for us to get where we want to get, we have to be willing to do some things. Like you said, JR, the definition of insanity, we have to be willing to do some things different. If we're constantly doing the same thing over and over and over again and getting the same results, nobody is surprised but ourselves. And I'm going to stop right there, JR. It's been good being back. I'm going to be here for a little while. This connection is kind of bad, so I may drop in and out, so bear with me.
I got you. Let me go back to what one of the things that you said, Mama. You talked about that 360-degree turnaround. So in love, let me tell you, when you go 360, I believe that you wind up back at the same spot.
Okay. Okay. All right.
But again, that's one of those, that's sometimes the language that we use. We don't realize the language that we use.
Okay.
So how about this? Would it be better to just try to make a 180?
Yeah, okay.
For the believer, thinking about repentance seems easier when we say 180 because it's turning to a different direction. But I can also add this as well. Mm-hmm. You can go in a different direction. It doesn't have to be turning all the way, going totally back the other way. You may just need to go 45 degrees to the right or 45 degrees to the left.
Right.
The bottom line is it's about positioning. That's really what you were really hitting at when you said do a 360-degree turnaround. I know it, but we want to make sure we clarify it for everybody who's out there listening.
Right.
This thing
Thank
is
you.
About turn around and make the necessary adjustment to the position that you need to make it in. I had something I wanted to bring on Brother Feaster, and Chitara's trying to I see her trying to get into the conversation. So let me just make this one last point. And Chitara, I'm bringing you into the conversation now. Brother Feaster, he talked about acknowledgement, he talked about sacrifice and discipline. One of the things, because we're providing tonight, we're providing steps, and I love how Brother Feaster said, this is what worked for me. If it works for you, write it down and you run with it. That's the first thing. Because what you said, Mama, was budgeting. Well, some folk that's only making $1,000 a month probably don't understand, may not understand what budgeting is with that $1,000. I may not think it's even worth trying to put it to the pen, to the paper, and all of that. But budgeting may not be the problem. It's, look, I got $1,000 coming in, and I got $1,300 worth of bills. It ain't the fact that I need to budget. I got one that's $500, another one that's $400, and another one that's two. Five, four, and two. The rest of it I need for gas and for food. Ain't a budgeting problem. They may just have bills that they have made that exceeds what their monthly income is.
Right.
One of the things that I thought about when Brother Feaster said this, and I'll be quiet and let Chitara jump in, is who's the best person to handle your finances if it's not you? This is going back to that reflection piece. Because I may not be, just because I'm the husband and I'm breadwinner in the family, quote unquote, does not mean that I need to be the one dealing with the finances.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I may work at a financial institution and still may not be the one that should be handling the finances in my home. That can kind of be rough, because the expectation is Brother Dunlap, he's the accounting for the city.
Right.
Why are you talking about I got to get money from my wife? Because if it works for my household, shut up. I'm dropping the mic. Chitara, welcome to the PRF table. Our sister Chitara is back with us. How you doing?
Doing well. How's everybody going?
Just fine,
good,
thank you.
Good.
This is good. This is very good. Everybody's making very good points and offering awesome advice. I just want to add to it, some of the things we need to change is our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are comfortable in your comfort zone or your comfort zone. Step out of your comfort zone. Because when you've seen something done for such a long time, you think that's just what it is. But if you know that's not working, if you have more months at the end of your money, then you have to start evaluating that situation. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
Get a second job?
Mm-hmm.
Or not buy that Lexus and drive the Hyundai for a little while first, then that's what you have to do. But since you see everybody else or all your friends or all your families going out to buy the Lexus, then you feel like you have to get the Lexus too. So you don't need the Lexus, so change your mindset. Think about what you need as opposed to what you want. And then if you do find that you're budgeting and budgeting and budgeting and it's still not enough, okay, can you take a class? Can you go to school to get a different skill set that can get you that increase or that raise on a job or promotion on a job? But you don't like school. You know, school was never for you. That's not my thing. Can you step out of your comfort zone to go take that class?
Right.
If that's going to give you what you need, can you step out of your comfort zone and say, you know what, I'm going to press through this. It's not my favorite. I don't really like school, but I see, I have a vision.
Right.
There's a place that I want to get to. There's a place I want to take my family to. There's a level of comfort that I want to live in. I'm going to take this class. I'm going to get through this class. I'm going to be that disciplined,
right,
to piggyback on what Brother Feaster said. I'm going to discipline myself, and I'm going to get through this class. I'm going to do what I have to do to get through this class so I can get the promotion on the job. And then lastly, pride.
Right.
Because you don't have to walk around with the latest sneakers and the, you know, dressed to the nines, because you're impressing people that ultimately don't matter. You're putting on a show or the front that Brother Feaster spoke of, and those people, it doesn't matter if you look all nice out in public and you go home and you have bread. You're eating bread and water when you get home. That doesn't make sense. So we need to chuck the pride, come out of our comfort zones, and change our mindsets. And that will get you to where you need to be, so that you can live comfortably. You can set up, you know, and bring your family with you,
right,
not just your immediate family or your nuclear family. Rather, you can you have a better situation to create a family or to build a family into. So those are, for me, those are three key things that I have to offer. Or I recommend that people do in order to get to that place where they're living comfortably and they're not struggling to make ends meet, and they can, you know, take those 2-week vacations to Paris if that's what they choose to do and not come back and struggle, not come back and have to figure out how I'm going to pay the bills because we went on vacation to Disneyland. We just have to change our mindset, because all of that stuff that we see out there that we say they have, we can have. We can have. It's tangible for us. It's reachable for us.
That's right.
We just got to change the mindset. Just got to believe it. We have to believe it ourselves, and not just believe it, but we have to take steps to do it. And that requires us to get into some uncomfortable positions, be it a second job, be it school, be it sitting under somebody and being mentored on how to do something or how to get someplace. We have to do it. So that's it.
It's good.
I want to add to that great list that you just gave, and it's something that I've been learning over the last couple of years. I'm doing it with my workout routine. An accountability partner. I really believe that a lot of times, there's a cheerleader and then there's an accountability partner, and then there's the coach. It's three people. The coach is the one that tells you what you need to do, how you need to do, when you need to do, why you need to do it. That's the person that gives you the education. That's the person that, you know, when you have questions, you go to this person, or when you're doing it wrong, this person corrects you. Then there's the cheerleader. That's the person that, while you're along the way and you're doing good, you know, that's the person you go to stroke your ego. That's the person you go to feed to yourself and make you feel good about what you're doing. And there's also the accountability person. Now, all three of these people are great, and we should have one of all three, and it should be three separate people, and one person can't be two, and there's a reason for that. But the person I want to talk about is the accountability person. I've over the past couple of years, I've really become very passionate with the accountability person. And even this tour here in Korea, I have an accountability person, and I am an accountability person. One of the ladies that I am accountability to, we never work out together. We have never worked out together. I've never seen her work out. She's never seen me work out. We've never worked out together. I went in one time and showed her some stuff, but we've never worked out together. All we do is, after we work out every day, we send each other a report, a text, as a matter of fact. We don't even call each other. It's a text to say, this is what I did for PT. This is what I did for my exercise. This is what I did for my workout. This is how long I did it, you know. And what that has done is, on her part, she's trying to lose a good amount of weight. Right now she's at 60-plus, and she's almost where she wants to be of weight loss. And what that does for her is she knows that if she misses a day, she's going to hear from me. There's going to be a text at the end of the day or the beginning of the next day saying, hey, I didn't get anything from you. Or when we run into each other, because we don't work together, you know, when we run into each other, she'll be convicted and or reminded that, hey, I didn't work out, or, oh, yeah, I forgot to text you and tell you what I did. So that accountability person that holds me accountable for what I'm supposed to be doing is a great aid. Now, the coach and the cheerleader are great also, but right now I'm just talking about the accountability person. It's a great aid in getting me where I want to be. Because when I'm in the department store, when I'm in the fashion store, when I'm in the car dealership, or when I'm in these places and I'm all of a sudden having an impulse to buy something that deep down in my heart, I know I need it, but it ain't nothing but a strong want. That accountability person is there, physically, mentally, or spiritually, is there as a reminder to hold me accountable. Is this something you really need? If you say you need it, can you live without it? And in most cases, if you live this long without it, it's not a need. It's a strong want, you know. Or if this is something new that you're trying to branch out into your life, then maybe it is a need. But is it a need or a strong want? And I'm telling you, that is a hard question to answer. Is it a need or a strong want? Because I still struggle with that question frequently. But that accountability person is there to not only am I saying it to myself, but that accountability person is saying it to me at the same time. Because now when that person comes into my house or gets into my car or sees me in this new outfit and that question comes, oh, where did this come from? Oh, when did you get that? Oh, how much did you pay for that? You know, now, you know, I got to answer to it. And the accountability person is somebody that, you know, that's the person that really has little to no sympathy. This person needs to be the person that when you get there and it sounds like a need and you're telling this accountability person that it's a need, and as that accountability person listening to you and all he hears or she hears is a strong want, that accountability person is the one that look at you and say, well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it ain't about nothing. You ain't need that. You just wanted that. You know, and so that right there keeps me online. When I make the mistake, it's not the accountability person there to encourage me. No, it's the accountability person to hold me accountable. There may be some encouragement in it, but it's really to keep me accountable and keep me online. So as we're dealing with, you know, getting out of our comfort zone, like Shatara said, and throwing away the pride, and even like Mama said, getting away, doing that turnaround, you know, and as we're doing our acknowledgement and our sacrifice, that accountability person is very beneficial in our plan in starting over financially or obtaining our financial goal. So I wanted to bring that person out because I rarely hear about an accountability person in almost any aspects. But if we have that person can really be a major asset to us in obtaining our goals.
Wow. You know what? Let's this this is what I had even before the show. And those of you who have been at the PRF table before knows that this is 99% of the time what we are providing to you or talking about is not scripted. We just have a couple of thoughts that's out there that God has given us or given me, and we run with it. But as I was thinking about the direction of the show tonight, and again, you know, I wanted us to think about the reflection piece. We're doing a lot of this honest reflecting right now, and we're giving people some good advice, some practical advice, and some internal advice. But there's several scriptures, and I think it's really, really relevant. I know it's really, really relevant to what y'all have just communicated to us, to the listeners. If you go to Proverbs 15 and 22, I'll just give them all to you. Proverbs 15, 22, Proverbs 11, 14, Proverbs 20, 18, Proverbs 24 and 6. Proverbs 15, 22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. In the New Living, it says, plans go wrong for the lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. So think about it. What Brother Fisa just mentioned was a very good, perfect example of advisors, of counselors. We have to be willing to listen to the individuals that, one, may have gone down the road that we have already gone, two, have already gone down the road that we're about to go down. And if we're willing to listen to them, we are willing to not have to live through the same mistakes. I never want to have to file for bankruptcy because of not having a savings account and some things come up and then I just start borrowing money off of my credit card. I never want to have to go through that. You know why? Because I've seen it and I've heard it and I've dealt with people enough throughout my last 15 so years that have already done it, and I see the destruction that comes from that. When you go and look at Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fail or they fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Oh, my goodness, are you serious? Is that written in the Word of God? Yes. The New Living says it like this: without wise leadership, a nation falls. But there is safety in having many, many advisors. Are you serious? Yes. If there is a bunch of people that are having failures in this PRF profile, in this area of finances, I ask the question, what type of counsel are they receiving? I ain't talking about counseling. Let's get that off the table right now. It ain't about sitting down with a financial counselor. To me, it's about sitting down with somebody that can minister to what's going on. The things that you and that Shatara and Mom and Brother, the things that y'all have already communicated, the pride, the mindset. That's what PRF is about. We're trying to deal with those particular things. Because I can sit down and I can tell you to put a budget together. That ain't got a thing to do with you following it. Nothing to do with it. And I can't be so ignorant to believe that just because I have a good program and I tell you to put a budget together and I see it and it looks good, if I don't follow up with you, then what have I done? I've had you do an exercise. So I'm challenging everybody to, and this is probably where we're going to probably stay for the rest of the show tonight. Deal with those scriptures. Every last one of them is in Proverbs. And the reality is Proverbs is wisdom literature. So some of what we're dealing with is people not having knowledge, but some of what we're also dealing with is people not using and exercising wisdom in their situations. But wisdom tells me what Brother Fisa just said about having a coach, accountability partner, and a cheerleader. If I have those three things, and I'm asking God, it's up to me. God, send me a coach, send me a cheerleader, send me an accountability partner. Now I am putting some of the onus back on God. Because now I've reached out and said, God, I need you to send these three people to me. Or it may come within two people. You may have two people that can do both of those, that can do two of those things, right? And it may be very, very rare that you find one person that can coach, cheerlead, and also give you accountability. Maybe a little bit much for one person, but it's possible. So when I think about it, I say, you know what? Who is that accountability partner that's in your church? Who can you seek out within church that you go to 3 or 4 times a week, 2 times on Sunday, 3 times every month on a Sunday? Y'all know I had to clown one time. I tried to get through a show tonight without clowning, but I had to throw something out there. But the people that you are working with, that you are laboring with in the vineyard, that you are sitting next to in all of these services that you go to, who is it that you can reach out? So if you can't reach out and see, you know what, let me reach out and ask Brother Dunlap to be my accountability partner. If you can't see anybody, because everybody's going through some of the same things that you're going through, at least that's what it looks like, that's when the leaders have to be able to step up and say, okay, let me reflect on what I'm doing to help this situation or to not help this situation. Good gracious. I don't think we're going to really deal with too much tonight about giving up things. I think we'll leave that for next week because it's easy to tell somebody, and I go back to all three of you, changing the mindset, doing the turnaround, exercising discipline. The reality, y'all, those are good things in theory, but how do we make those practical? And I can't make them practical in your life because I don't know everything that you're dealing with. So the only way that I can help make that thing practical in your life is to be there with you and have an understanding of what you're going through. This is about ministry. This ain't about having somebody just to get a fresh start so they can go and put themselves back in the same situation. That's why so many people that file bankruptcy again after a couple of years, because there was something that they may not have learned from the Band-Aid fix.
I just want to say that sounds like responsibility to me. I mean, all of those things all boiled up into one thing is responsibility. It's owning and being responsible and being a good steward over the things you have. That doesn't just mean be comfortable with what you have. Because if that's not meeting the need, then your responsibility is to figure out a way to get the need met, whether it be your need or the need of your brother or sister. It's your responsibility. So if that means you step out, again, the comfort zone, you budget, if it means you swallow your pride, if it means, you know, you have to repent or do that 180 or that 90-degree turn to go in a different direction, it's your responsibility. We all share that responsibility because we are our brother and sister's keeper, and we have a responsibility to our families as well. So we have to be responsible.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking about, and you kind of said it in what you was going to say, am I my brother's keeper? Now, Nino Brown made that phrase popular, but it's actually a biblical scripture.
Yes, it is.
And the reason why, I know, right? The reason why I wanted to bring that up is a lot of times, and we do this, I mean, let me use this quick analogy, example, to show how this is crucial with being my brother's keeper. The question is always asked amongst friends. If you see my girlfriend or my boyfriend cheating, would you tell me? You know, and it's interesting to hear the response because half would say, yeah, I'm going to let you know. The other half are like, no, I'm not going to let you know. And it goes back to that question. Am I my brother's keeper? What's the reason behind me not telling? Now, I said all that to say, is a lot of times we'll walk around and not be held accountable for information that we know. You know, if I know somebody is doing wrong and I don't do anything about it, then I'm being held accountable because I am my brother's keeper. I love the African proverb that said, it takes a village to raise a child, which tells me that I am my brother's keeper. There's a lady on the choir, you know, her husband is in the States, she's over here in Korea, and she has a son, and this boy is hyper. I mean, this boy does not sit still. I think he's running his sleep, this boy's so active. But when he comes to choir rehearsal, half the choir members are helping her with that boy. And I look at that every time we're at church and he's there. I mean, when she's singing in the choir, there's two or three people helping with him. When she's at choir rehearsal, there's four or five people helping her, you know. And then she has people to babysit when she needs the time because she's definitely not as active as this boy. And I just look at that and I'm like, we are our brother's keeper. So when we're in this situation, you know, when we have that relative, when we have that spouse, when we have that friend or that coworker that's living beyond their means or doing things that they shouldn't be doing and trying to obtain a goal, then it is our responsibility. Because in the big scheme of things, it's not just individual debt, it's all of our debt. Because if one person is in debt, we're all in debt because we're all going to pay the penalty. Look at society. One person in debt, everybody pays. Prices go up, insurance go up, and all this stuff is effect. So we are held accountable. It's the fact that majority of us are not doing anything about it, and that's where we are. So, I mean, when you started talking, that's the first thing that popped in my head. Am I my brother's keeper? The truth of the matter is we are our brother's keeper.
We are.
Where do I want to go from here? Here's what I think we'll get close to giving a transition for next week. The first question, we've all of us have given our thoughts about what we can do and what somebody can do, but the first and the most important question is when somebody is looking at getting a fresh start. This whole question was about an individual getting a fresh start. It's not about what I want for you. It's not about that I see this person struggling and I say that they need a fresh start. Remember my analogy about the person who my wife worked for, right? The question is an internal question, y'all. It's a question for the individual, and that question is, why do they want a fresh start? So if I'm encountering that individual, if I'm dealing with that individual, the question that I would say for us to ask them, why do you feel that you need a fresh start? Because reality is, that's going to be one of the keys to success. It has nothing to do with what I say that they need to do. It's rather helping them to see what they need to do. Does that make sense? If I can help them to see what they need to do, then now they have, what did you say, Shatava? You said responsibility.
Yes.
Well, with responsibility, we also have this notion of ownership. So if it's my solution to the problem, then I'm not giving you the opportunity to have as much ownership in it as I do. There's a difference between resolution and transformation. And what I focus on and deal with is transformation. Transforming the mind, right? You mentioned that. Changing the mindset. Changing the mindset is not resolution, it's transformation. So I have to be willing to help that person to see that, help them to see that they're spending too much money. It ain't about me telling you that you're spending too much money, because the reality is, if I'm dealing with something, some of those internal emotions, those internal spirits or demons, it's easy for me to say, once you say to me, Dunlap, you need to stop spending money, that's why you broke. I can acknowledge that, but there's been no transformation there. Because right. If I don't want to hear your mouth no more, then the best thing for me to do is say, you know what, you're right, you're right, you're right. And how many times have you counseled people, ministered to people, dealt with people in various situations, and they just said something like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're
well,
right. Come on, bring it. Let's go.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, the responsibility is not only on us. Yes, I'm my brother's keeper, but my brother has a responsibility to know better, to learn better, to know better, and to do better. So they have ownership of that situation, because if I'm trying to show you, the responsibility comes into play on that individual when they acknowledge that there is a problem, that they do have a deficit somewhere, be it in their knowledge or in their wallet, but there's a deficit. And the fact that I'm considering that I'm my brother's keeper, I'm going to give you or assist you with that deficit. So when I'm saying, hey, you might need a budget, you feel like you can control your spending, but you still always end up with, you know, coming up short at the end of the month or scrambling to pay your bills. So me taking ownership of the fact that that's my brother and I'm his keeper or her keeper, then I will offer that advice and that information and that assistance or mentorship, whatever it may be. It's incumbent on that individual to accept it, to be responsible and accept that, you know what, I do need something different. I need to repent, figuratively and spiritually and naturally, rather. I need to go in a different direction because this is not working out. So they still have to own that responsibility as well. There's responsibility on both parts. So I understand what you're saying. Definitely we don't want just to plop the resolution in their lap and say, okay, you have to, this is the fix, do it. You know, that definitely is not a recipe for success. But first, for us, the people who have the knowledge and who want to offer it to the individuals, we have to accept that we have a responsibility and a duty to be there for those people who lack the knowledge. And the people who are banging their heads against the brick wall, saying, why is this not working, and doing the same thing and getting the same results, they have to be responsible and understand that they need to do something different, open their minds, and be willing to make the change. And it may take more than one person, one brother, mm-hmm. that's trying to keep that woman or man. It may take mm-hmm. more than one individual coming to them and saying, hey, you know, I feel led, or, you know, I have a desire to help you out with this situation, or help you get out of this situation, or explain to you how to improve this situation, or whatever it is. But I think there is a responsibility on both parties. Does that make sense?
It does. And okay. We're not saying two different things. We have just some different variations in what you're saying, what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm looking at the fresh start piece. And I'm looking at it from the perspective that I know so much that the heart of a lot of believers is that we don't want somebody to go through what they're going through. But the question becomes, with what you just said, how much and how long are you willing to go through with that individual if you're that brother's keeper? And I'm not necessarily asking this to you, Shatar. I'm throwing it out there for anybody. But mm-hmm. if I'm my brother's keeper, how long am I willing to be my brother's keeper? Am I willing to bang my head up against the brick wall because they're not getting? Maybe they have to get it in their own timing.
Right.
Maybe it takes stumbling across a couple additional bricks, a couple more paydays that don't look too good, that 5 days away from payday, it's looking really, really rough, and this person is begging for money. But it's not always about somebody being in a negative poor situation. A fresh start, let me throw this in there in our last 5 minutes or so. A fresh start can be, I'll give you a perfect example. I didn't save money for my children. We had to get student loans when they got of age to go to college. But I have another one that's about 4 years behind. So maybe I can start putting some money away today. That's a fresh start. It doesn't have to be a very bad, negative type of situation where they're not doing the right thing. The reality is so many people have children in this world that they're not ready for. That's a true statement. Most people don't have, most pregnancies are not planned pregnancies. So if you're not in that already planning phase, which most Americans are not, then that's some of the fresh start that I'm talking about as well. I didn't do it right the first time, but I know I got another child coming behind that's 4 years behind the one that's in college right now that, you know, we had to try to figure out how they're going to get to school. So I want a fresh start in that particular area. So I don't want everybody thinking tonight is always just, is so much just about the negative and people not doing the right thing with their money. Folks that ain't spending their money right, y'all, let's be honest. They know it. They know it. So, you know, we're not the beat down police, Brother Feaster, you know, not at all. But I still want to contend that if somebody wants that fresh start, that we respond to them and ask them why do they want this fresh start. So, for example, why do you want to get a fresh start? Because I didn't do the right thing by saving my money when I was younger, and now we're struggling to help this college, this student, this child of mine who is in college right now. We don't want to have to go through that same experience 4 or 5 years down the road, or 8 years down the road, or 10 years down the road. That's a good positive thing. They're working fine. They're doing good in their job. But they may not have realized how expensive college is until you had to pay for a kid in college. And one of the things that I learned in my current studies is when it comes to mediation, because a lot of times we're dealing with mediation, whether it's a one-on-one or whether it's with individuals. And one of the things I learned about mediation is this. I can't do anything as a mediator until you're willing. So it may be good that person does the acknowledgement, like Brother Feaster said. Yes, I acknowledge that I'm not spending my money wisely. That's just one step. That's just the first step. So I have to be willing to spend that time and try to help that individual to come to a place where they're willing to take the next steps. Because as soon as I overstep it, and I think that happens a lot of times dealing in this area, especially with the church, once I overstep it without allowing you to come to come to yourself, as somebody mentioned in the Bible. It takes a lot of the internal responsibility off of me and it puts it on you. And we don't want that to happen. I want the responsibility to be on the individual so that they can own it, because if they don't own it, they're not going to follow it through. Just my thoughts. Just my thoughts. Well, I think we're about to shut it down for the evening. Final comments. Does anybody have any final comments? We got about 5 minutes. I'll start with you, Mama. If you don't have anything, that's fine. You can stay silent. I know you're over there thinking about
something.
All the stuff.
You don't get away that fast. I got something. The accountability part is what really touched my spirit, because, you know, at my age, you know, all of us that are 68 and over, we get stuck in our own ways, and we just don't want nobody to tell us what to do, you know. So I think that this is good, too, because that's the way we look at it, you know. But the bottom line is that we do need an accountability partner. We do need someone that's going to be truthful with us, and that helps us to grow, you know. We do need the coach and the cheerleader. So we do need all three, and as long as my Aunt Eva used to say, as long as you're alive, you are learning. It's whether we accept right. The teaching or not. It's what will help us to be successful. That's all.
Yeah. Well, Shatara, did you have any final comments? This has been a very, very good show tonight. I'm really pleased that everybody's been down at the table that's been here. And I think we'll really deal with some good stuff next week, too. So I'll let you have the final comment tonight.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, it's, like you said, it definitely goes back to responsibility, especially for the individual that wants the fresh start. But, mm-hmm. you know, it seems that if they have acknowledged that they needed a fresh start or they wanted to try to get one, then they're positioned for accepting responsibility. So it is absolutely doable. Nobody has to stay in the cycle, in the, you know, the cycle of financial struggle. It's just a matter of those few things that we mentioned. And it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Because I'm sure there's nobody that wants to say that, that can say that they would rather just make ends meet versus live very comfortably. So
right.
Help each other out. We can do it.
Brother Feaster, if you are still with us, I know you're still with us. We're going to let you go ahead and give a final comment before we shut it down for tonight.
I kind of want to echo really what everybody said tonight. And since I only got like 30 seconds, I'm not going to actually repeat it. But everything that was said was tonight was very useful and very beneficial. But I do want to say, JR, I like what you said. A fresh start does not always mean that it's a negative situation. A fresh start can happen just because we're ready for a change to do something different. So, you know, I just want to challenge everybody to make a fresh start and moving toward their goals and their plans. Thank you all, and I will talk to you all later.
Good night, everyone.
Meet us back here next Thursday on the PRF table, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what we're going to be doing next week, we're really going to be continuing on with this particular conversation. And I want us to take a look at a couple of different particular scriptures, Mark chapter 2, verse 22, and also Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. And I really want us to focus next week, and I think this is just a good direction for us to go, is focusing on what's the old stuff that has to be given up? If we're not willing to look at what's the old things that are, or what are the old things in our life that is holding us back, or that's holding that individual, preventing that individual from getting a fresh start, it's going to be kind of difficult. It really deals with this whole notion of being willing to let something go to get something new. So that's where we're going to start off next week. So, in the meantime, like us on Facebook, positions.resources.finances. We'd love to just engage and have conversation with you throughout the week. So until next week, we say God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night.